Senate Labor and Commerce to order for first time this year, and we do have one member who is in transit, but and will be missing probably for health reasons today. Senator Seekins, Senator Davis is on her way. With us, Senator Stevens and Senator Ellis, myself, Bundy. Please, would you check your cell phones and turn those off? We do have a bucket of salt water to put them in if you can't find the off button. And just a reminder that, as we well know but sometimes forget, whenever the red light is on, we are live. And so that means there's nothing off the record when we're live. Today we're going to hear SB 136 for the first time. Again, it'll be the committee's practice that we don't move things unless they're exceptionally simple or there's some really extenuating circumstances at the first hearing. And with that, Senator Ellis, if you would like to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Johnny Ellis, representing Senate District L, downtown and midtown Anchorage. I really want to thank the chairman for having this bill before you. I appreciate it very much. Senate Bill 136 would increase the maximum unemployment benefit from $248 to $300. This would provide needed relief to Alaskan workers on unemployment who are trying to literally put dinner on the table for their families and themselves. In 2004, Alaska ranked 49th in the country for average weekly benefit amount, and as a percentage of weekly earnings, and Alaska has fallen from 47th to 48th in the past year for maximum weekly benefit amount. The average weekly unemployment check in Alaska is $193.91. I was trying to figure out if that's what I was bringing in, how I would make ends meet. Pretty tough. As opposed to the national average of $262.50. So on any of these measures, Alaska compares pretty unfavorably with almost the rest of the entire United States. Alaska has not increased unemployment benefits since 1997, and this benefit is not linked to inflation. Rising unemployment benefits, it's not only good for workers, but also the economy, provides the necessary incentive to ensure well-trained Alaskan workers stay right here in our state for future employment opportunities, we would hope. So that, with that, Mr. Chairman, I know there are a number of folks who support the legislation. Looking forward to some good testimony and consideration by the committee.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Ellis. I don't see any questions. We do have a CS to adopt, but we'll wait till Senator Davis gets here before we address that. You did mention it would raise the maximum amount to 300. My information, I think, was 336, which would be the correct amount?
If you give me a moment as we go along here, I'll get an answer for you. It's very specific.
Okay. All right, thank you. And Representative Crawford, you had a comment to make?
Can you just pull your chair over?
Sure. I can tell you about the 300 part.
Okay, please do.
This mirrors the, I'm Harry Crawford, representative of House District 21, East Anchorage, and
I just ask you to pull the mic a little closer, would you, Harry?
Okay.
Thank you.
And this is a companion bill to a bill that is in House Rules, and last year in House Finance, when the bill was heard, we struck a compromise. There was an amendment made to put 12 weeks of waiting if you were fired or quit a job on the floor. That was made, and it failed. The agreement we made with the members that had put that amendment forward was that we would reduce the maximum benefit amount to 300 as long as there was no retrenchment or going backwards on the amount of weeks of waiting. Because in Alaska, The average amount of time somebody draws unemployment is 11 weeks. What that would mean for people in my line of work, construction trades and all, nobody would ever get laid off again. We'd all get fired, or life would be so miserable we'd have to quit. So basically it would mean that unemployment insurance wouldn't be available to the majority of the people in the construction trades if we were to put a 12-week penalty.
Can I interrupt to ask, why do you assume that employers would resort to that kind of draconian behavior?
From 35 years of experience in the field, they're going to do whatever they can to cut costs, because it's a very competitive business, and if there was an avenue that they could cut their costs, a lot of them would take it. And not everybody. I know that there are many good contractors out there that wouldn't do that and don't want to lay off their people. They don't want them to quit, and they want to be able to keep a good trained workforce in Alaska. That's why we really reached a crisis proportion here. I mean, we're losing good trained people to the lower 48 because people can't afford to stay here in the wintertime, or when the work gets slack. It may be winter, it may be the middle of summer, but you know, we have cyclical businesses, and that's what unemployment insurance is for, is to help people through those times when the cycle is down and they can't find work. And it's just imperative that we do something to bring ourselves up. 336 wouldn't have been enough as it was. We have cut it down to 300. That's almost so low that there are many people that normally support me that have said, Harry, that bill's so low it's almost an insult. So I don't think this is even half a loaf, but it's something. And I'm trying the best I can to help workers and to keep good trained workers in Alaska. It costs us somewhere between $40,000 and $60,000, I believe, is what I've been told, to train an apprentice iron worker up to journeyman status, and along with upgrades and all. And we're losing those folks to San Francisco, Seattle, and Portland because the hourly scale is higher. The unemployment insurance is higher, and the cost of living is no more expensive and sometimes less than it is here in Alaska. We're just in a position where we've got to do something.
And I'd like to explore this firing for cause a little bit further. And do you think there should be any restriction as far as collecting unemployment insurance for someone who has been fired for cause?
I believe that the 6 weeks is kind of a compromise penalty. I think it's too long. Some people think it might not be long enough, but I think it's really about the maximum that we can stand. If you're talking about more than 6 weeks, there are going to be more and more employers that are going to avail themselves of that, and what you're going to have is a slave labor force.
For both the bill sponsor and yourself, I'd be interested if there's some compromise position on addressing perhaps a larger amount and the firing for cause issue, and if we might find a compromise that would be acceptable to the other body on that. But if you'd give it some thought, I'd appreciate it. Other questions for Representative Crawford? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the commissioner is here. Yeah, we'd like to hear from the commissioner of labor on this bill as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner, welcome.
I am Greg O'Clary, the Commissioner of the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, and I have supplied the committee with some bullet points on sheets, so I won't...
Before you begin, would you, for gavel to gavel, address your lapel pin that you've shared with us?
If we can get it on camera, certainly. This is a lapel pin, actually it is a pin that was developed by the Department of Labor that shows our top priority, jobs, but the yellow ribbon will signify our welcoming home of the National Guard units that are returning from deployment, beginning to trickle in this weekend. And our department is, along with other departments, are supporting our troops coming home. It's our patriotic statement that we thank them for their service in keeping America free.
Well, thank you for sharing your ribbons and pointing that out.
Of course, we have an ulterior motive.
Why, I'm just shocked.
Seriously, Mr. Chairman, thank you for recognizing the silent tribute we're paying to our servicemen and women. With respect to Senate Bill 136, Mr. Chairman, I have supplied the committee with some facts regarding the impact of the payment of claims throughout our state that you will find somewhat interesting, and I'll just merely highlight a couple of things to bring to your attention. I think it's important to underscore the value to Alaska's economy of the payments that come from the UI Trust Fund to claimants distributed primarily within the boundaries of our state. And I think it's important to underscore that this is not only is it a stopgap to assist workers who find themselves unemployed during certain times of the year, either due to seasonal downturn or the unfortunate closure of a business, and which creates a job loss. It adds a great amount of money to the economy. And the total for in-state last year, in 2004, was 111, excuse me, this is with a year lag, the way these figures are kept. In 2004, $111,549,000 in change went into the local Alaska economy as a result of claims filed under the unemployment insurance benefit. The other thing is, I think it's important to point out that under this is one of the few government programs where employees contribute a portion of their paycheck, that they are, along with employers, contributing to the insurance that in the case they find themselves unemployed without work, they receive some benefit. Representative Crawford and the sponsor, Senator Ellis, are correct in terms of the average length of claim, and that is about 11 weeks. The interesting thing about our status in comparing Alaska with other states is that we have remained since 1997 in that lower quadrant of placement with other states. We've been less than 40th out of the 50 states for some time now. And I know that there's been certainly some motivation on the part of the leadership of both chambers to move a UI a bill forward, and I think it's time has come to address this. Because as Representative Crawford indicated to you, my concern as the Commissioner of the Department of Labor and Workforce Development is that if we invest in the training of tradesmen, skilled tradesmen, in order for them to work in our economies and for our contractors, it is disheartening to see them migrating south to other environs where benefits for UI are higher. And every state on the West Coast has higher benefits than Alaska does in terms of UI. We do have a provision in our law that's a little more different, and that is that we have dependent allowances in there. But even with that dependent allowance, I think you'll find that our placement is certainly nothing to be proud of. So I would urge the committee to work for passage of a bill. This one certainly answers a lot of the concerns the department has with respect to retaining workforce, and I would urge you to consider the bill favorably.
Right. Thank you. Before we move on, I recognize Senator Davis has joined us and would entertain a motion to adopt the CS. The only change, as I understand it, in the CS is a change in the effective date. Is that accurate?
It is. Yeah. So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Without objection, we will use as our working document CS for 136.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd just like to commend the commissioner for being here. We appreciate it. The committee appreciates it. I really am happy. I'm not surprised about your willingness to work on this issue with us in a bipartisan way, and we look forward to getting something done together.
Thank you, Senator Ellis. Through the chair, I have one comment. On behalf of the administration, Governor Murkowski did not introduce this bill, as you're aware. Our concern is that while we propose legislation that we be ever mindful of the challenges to small businesses in our state, and I'll harken back to last year's introduction of the workers' comp reform bill that we worked on, I believe that you'll find that this particular bill, as forwarded, does not have a major devastating impact on employers in terms of their rates, and the numbers are shown in the charts, I think, that we presented to the committee.
And we will, of course, be interested in hearing from business and industry as well. Now, one of the, if I could ask you this, one of the parts of our, we've had this discussion before on UI, and one of the contentions is that we didn't pay very much, but we had a program that was easier to get into, easier to stay on, and so while it wasn't a lot of money per week, the trade-off was that we weren't very restrictive and people who could qualify for UI. I mean, is that an accurate portrayal? And of course, it's important that we balance both sides of the equation. Would you have any suggestions for balance?
Mr. Chairman, I have obviously been present when those statements have been made in testimony. And I don't know how easy it is to file an unemployment claim. First of all, you have a qualification is you have to be jobless. That's not an easy situation for someone who is trying to obviously to raise a family in our state. And most times, except for a voluntary quit and a discharge for cause, it's an unfortunate circumstance that comes without a lot of notice to workers. I don't believe, except for the fact that they can file claims telephonically under our state and do not have to actually come into a job center, that particular thing is the only easy thing about filing a claim. But I have to tell you, because I see appeals to claims both from employers as well as employees across my desk daily, and I adjudicate those claims as the final arbiter before they access the courts, that they're on both sides of the spectrum, that in many cases I deny benefits to workers who have, by reason of their failure to follow the rules that are in the Act, I deny claims on a regular basis. I also overrule appeals that the employers have won on the lower basis once I read the case when I find that the department did not follow the law and that the employer made an error. So there's a balancing act there, and I believe that the appeals process that it is in the law now is both fair and even-handed. The difficulty that I think I have with respect to criticism of this particular program is that our state is unique. We are a non-contiguous state. We can't just go drive across the state line and go to work in a neighboring state, that we must get on an airline or jump on a Alaska Ferry to leave Alaska or drive a long length of highway in order to seek work. One of the things that's been brought to me on a regular basis when I travel around the state giving speeches, however, is that, Commissioner, why do we have an unemployment problem when I pick up a paper in every major town in Alaska and they're advertising for jobs? Well, my answer to you, it isn't a simple one, but it's pretty much this. I don't think that our department has concentrated enough effort on making sure that people are trained for alternative work so that they have other skills and can take jobs that may not be in their regular line of work. I know that of recent times we have encouraged our unemployment insurance case managers in the job centers to encourage and show pathways to folks to get back to employment, because there is no substitute for employment in terms of making a family work when it works best is having a job. So With that, in general terms, Mr. Chairman, I believe that we have a good, clean program. We're proud of the way it's worked. Certainly, any program can be improved. One of the things I personally am looking at with respect to the department is more targeted work search when someone is unemployed. I don't believe a person ought to be able to lay on, as the old term was, rocking chair by choice when there are jobs available that they are qualified for.
And I would, that would, was leading to my next question. I would appreciate suggestions as to how we might, if we are able to expand the amount of money folks collect, put in a higher expectation of an active work search. I think maybe it's an urban myth, but one of the criticisms in the public are that people are drawing unemployment and are not in earnest about finding another job, the old rocking chair pay notion. So if you could help me with that. And with the average length of claim being 11 weeks, is there another possible compromise that you would have a maximum draw that might be reduced in exchange for a higher weekly benefit?
Mr. Chairman, there already is a reduction with respect to a discharge for misconduct or a voluntary quit. It's not just 6 weeks of disqualification of benefit, which is a month and a half. There's also your benefit, total benefits are reduced by by 3 times the weekly benefit amount. So there is an additional fine, shall we say, mm-hmm. or a disincentive for you to voluntarily quit or be discharged from misconduct. And by the way, in those two cases, many times we get appeals filed from claimants and employers just on that particular point, and we adjudicate them on a regular basis. Because there's going to be a difference of opinion in many cases on whether the person was discharged for misconduct or good cause. Those arguments continue, and they work their way through the process. Right. At this time, Mr. Chairman, I have no suggestions in terms of changing the 6 week postponement.
All right. Well, I just appreciate if you have thoughts to share them with us. Other questions for the Commissioner? Thank you, Commissioner. We appreciate you being with us. Bill Kramer, please. Yeah, you're just here for questions or do you have comments?
Just for questions.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And Pat, you're here as well for comments. All right. We do have some other folks that would like to testify. Craig Haitley. I believe he's on teleconference.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Craig Haitley.
I'm sorry, Mr. Haitley, if you could get a little closer to the mic.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, that's better. Thank you.
Yeah, my name is Craig Haitley. I'm a business agent with Local 367 Plumbers and Pipe Fitters in Anchorage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to show my support for Senate Bill 136. We routinely have our construction trades members of the union are routinely out of work when the snow is on the ground. Not too many construction projects start in the dead of winter during December through March months. So I would just like to voice my support for an increase in the weekly benefit because it does help out, put bread on the table for many of my members that are out of work this time of year.
All right, thank you. I don't see questions at this time, but thank you for your testimony. Randy Whitney.
Thank you, Senator. I'd like to offer some support for this, too. It's not quite enough. Maybe we can get some Republicans who would like to be a hero and put a little bit more money on it, but at least to start. We are seasonal workers, and if you were aware of the demographics, it's such that there's not enough skilled crafts in the state currently. And it is lucrative enough, and we are in sync now with the lower 48 to where people can seek work outside. We make an investment in training apprentices, approximately $23,000 or so per apprentice, and we have people leaving all the time because there's not enough work here. And it could just help get them through these tough times when there is a little lull in the work. I don't see it as armchair money. Hardly anybody. I'd ask anybody there if they think they could make it on $300 a week. Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you. And I'm you're affiliated with local 367. In your experience, are there people who, in their period when they are not able to do their normal or trade, are they taking other jobs, or are they generally just waiting until another project where they could work their craft comes up?
We have individuals that have other skills as well that don't even bother with unemployment, that can't make it on unemployment anyway, so they'll seek other work. But I myself have had to leave the state back in the late 80s because there wasn't enough work, and there's no way I could stay here and support my family on that kind of money.
All right, thank you. And I don't see any questions. Royce, Rock, you have a comment that doesn't involve our sons?
Hello, Mr. Chairman. How are you today?
I'm fine, Royce. How are you?
Oh, very good. You know, it seems like since 1998 I've had the opportunity to come down and speak in front of the House concerning unemployment, but this is actually the first time in all those years that we've actually had a bill introduced in the Senate. And I got to admit, I find that kind of appalling in itself, that never has there been a bill on unemployment introduced in the House to have the public speak on. But this time, I thank you for bringing it forward. I would like to point out a few things. As I was going through history on unemployment, I started pulling out the Trends magazines clear back to 2000 and the rates that were being paid then. At that time, we were 39% of the state's average weekly wage. We're still not there. I'm in favor of an unemployment bill, obviously. I've been working on it for a number of years with several senators and representatives. But this one just doesn't get there for me. I look back in 2002, and we had an ad hoc committee of labor and management put together, and we agreed on a figure that started out in 2002 at $272 and with a minimum income of $29,750. Then the next year would have been $296 by making at least $32,750. And then in 2004, we would have been at $320 making at least $35,750. In this bill, we're now raising it up to $37,500, I believe it is, to make the maximum of $300. So in my eyes, we're dropping down to 19 or 2003 levels, but raising up the maximum or the minimum of what you have to make to get that. I support an unemployment bill, and I think everybody in the room down there has heard me speak at one time or another on this. This just isn't enough. The idea, and Mr. Chairman, I know we've had several discussions concerning what is referred to as the rocking chair money, and I know that's the main issue of yours, but I'd like to point out something as far as the construction industry goes. The construction worker's average income is $1,118 a week. So to think that somebody would actually sit at home to make $300 sounds rather weird to me. And the other thing that everybody seems to forget is there is a waiting week before you ever even get to start drawing the unemployment. So to extend that time period out, I see no reason in it. You know, it's 11 weeks is the average that people draw, so it's obviously it's not keeping people out of work just because the money's so good. What I'm asking you to do is pass an unemployment bill this session. I know there's a lot of pressure on the legislature, both sides of it, to pass an unemployment bill. I'm just stating very clear and precise that $300 is just not enough. And I really hope as leaders of this state, you guys can see this. Take this bill back, add to the amount of the weekly benefit. And honestly, you might even look at the lower end, raising it up a little bit too. But, you know, we have a lot of money in the unemployment fund. It's been used for other things outside of unemployment, and it's just time to raise it. And I just ask you to please look at this for the good of the state and the good of the businesses, because this does add to their bottom line, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Get your view a little bit, a little more information from you. Obviously, I don't think someone would quit a job where they're making $1,100 a week so that they could get $300 a week. But I think there is a possibility that if the project goes away and through no fault of theirs and they are unemployed, they may be less inclined to go look for different work or additional work if there is the $300 a week to fall back on. And is there a solution where we could encourage people to be more aggressive in looking for work when they're on UI, in your mind?
Well, I mean, there is the opportunity, or there is the challenge that they do have to go looking for work. If they're in their union, they're obviously going through the unions to find work. But I just don't agree with your philosophy that it should be tougher than what it is today. I just truly don't. I mean, the challenge is feeding your family. And again, I'm going to say the amount of money they're getting isn't enough. That's incentive enough. And, you know, in all the arguments and all the years I've been working on this, this has been brought up by a few people, yourself and a few others from the Senate, and nobody has been able to give me numbers to show me that this is a big concern other than somebody's perception. And I guess maybe I'd have a few more feelings on this if there were numbers out there that showing that this was being abused, but I just haven't seen them.
Okay, thank you. And I don't see any further questions. Tell Jake I said hi.
Thank you. Tell Kurt I said hi.
Okay. Is there anyone else who'd like to testify? Yes.
Well,
all right. Thank you. We'll get you to sign in if you would, please.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Sure.
My name's Don Etheridge. I'm with the Alaska State AFL-CIO and here to speak in support of the bill. With the AFL-CIO, we are in agreement with the Royce Rock there that we are behind times. We'd like to see some additional increases, but any step in the right direction is a step, and we'd like to make those steps. We would not support any increases to the length of time. We think it's pretty hard to live for the first 6 weeks if you haven't saved enough money through your construction period to make it, and if you had to do 12 weeks, some of these guys would have a really tough time doing that. And I do know a lot of the guys, especially here locally, back when I was the business agent here, that would take work in the winter time. Many of them would go out and hang sheetrock or whatever else they could find to, because the UI just isn't enough to make a house payment and keep food on the table. It's just not there. It does help out considerable when they're out looking for other work. Many construction hands can't go to work in an office where you find most of the jobs are available in the winter months. They just don't have the skills to do that. And it took me about 3 years to learn how to turn a computer on, let alone how to operate the thing. And many of our guys, they just don't have the abilities to go to work in the offices. And many of them have a tough time going down to flip burgers at McDonald's, too, when you've been in the construction trade and used to making good money. It's kind of tough to do that. But we would definitely support the bill as written.
Okay, thank you. And I don't see any questions, so thank you for your testimony. Anyone else that would like to testify on the bill? Not seeing anyone at this time, we will bring the bill back before us again in relatively near future, and hopefully can take some final action and move it forward. So,
thank you very much.
All right. That, just for the committee's information, our next meeting will be next Tuesday at 1 o'clock, we hope, and we will here then, SB 222, Protection of Personal Information. This is Ellis Week, I think. And SB 207, Alaska Aerospace Development Corporation. So if nothing further come before the committee, with thanks to committee members, we'll stand adjourned at 2:25.